We're going to read in Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look at a couple of fathers, and the title of my message is Faithful Steps. We're discussing about being faithful. 1 Corinthians is chapter 4, verse 2. And so Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, New King James Version. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, for from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your descendants I will give this land.' And there he built," he meaning Abram, "built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south." Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray, Holy Spirit, you give us revelation. We pray, Father, that you speak to our hearts, Lord, that we would leave your house, Lord, changed and not the same. We give you glory and praise. Amen. Faithful steps, our steps of obedience now, may not display the finished product, but our faithfulness in those steps of obedience will one day complete the desired result. Now, I have up here a couple of instruction manuals. Some people may not believe in instruction manuals. Some of you probably are so talented, you don't need an instruction manual, and you don't ever have extra bolts, screws, or nuts afterwards. But I typically, you know, want to follow because I want to make sure. But when they come out with these manuals, even the ones that are in foreign and you really can't understand, so you got to follow the pictures, and I've experienced that. But if you follow those instructions, the purpose of following those instructions is to get to the final result, the final product. What it actually looks like on the picture should actually be what you, when you complete it. How many of you say amen? All right. And so we read that God gave instructions to Abram. And if you missed it, you'll have to read it again. But Abram obeyed and went. He didn't sit there like some of us do and try to reason with God and try to analyze situations or things, but he did that. Kind of like what children ought to do when children are given instructions by their parents. Just go do what I tell you to do. Not whenever you feel like it. I'm telling you to do it now, so therefore you need to do it now. And so sometimes I've learned over the years that I have to be specific, not just to adults, but even to my kids. I want you to do that now, not 10 minutes from now. No, put the game controller down. I want you to do that now. And so we have to be specific when we give these instructions, and the purpose is to get the desired result. Here in verse 7, the Lord spoke to Abram. He says, "To your descendants I will give this land." What did Abram do? He built an altar to the Lord. Why did he build an altar? To commemorate and to honor what God just said and what God's going to do. And Abram, we didn't read that Abram, when he felt like it, or he wanted to stick around, but it says that he continued to go, and he continued to still go toward the south, because that's where the Lord told him to go, that he was going to give them this land. What do we do when God speaks to us? Again, do we analyze what he just said? I sometimes want to talk to God and ask God some questions because I want to make sure that the decisions that I end up taking are the right ones and the ones that he wants me to make. Because how many of you, you know, you second guess yourself? I do. But sometimes I believe it is a good thing. It can be a good thing when you don't camp out there, it can be a good thing because what you're saying is, Father, I want to honor you and I want to make the right choice. You said to do that you're going to do this in my life, or you said that you want me to do this, but I want to make sure that what I'm doing and what I'm leaving behind is exactly what you want. So you're just trying to do it, you want to make the decisions and make correct ones. Sometimes people like to camp out there and they want God to write it in the sky. And they want God to do this, 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 and this, this, and this. And I wonder if many of you are actually gotten comfortable laying your, like Gideon did, laying your fleece out so many times that God just says, you missed it. You missed it. It was all about maybe just being careful and asking God to intervene, or asking God, is this what you want me to do? And then stepping out in faith. But a lot of us, we like to camp out and laying all those fleeces out there. And God says, that was something you were supposed to do yesterday. And so we can get comfortable in doing that, and that's not wise to do. So we need to obey. So Abram didn't just stick around long enough and say wait for God to say, hey, Abram, are you still going to go? It says that he continued to journey with the intent to move on and to continue onto a land that God had already said. Now, if you remember a couple of months ago, I've been saying that I've been trying to live this and walk this out, that when God says he's going to do something, right at that moment, I begin to rejoice. Right at that moment, I begin to praise God because of what, and sometimes I felt like I thought he said something, but then when I'm reading devotions or I read a scripture or I read a passage for the day, it brings me back to what God said, and it's like an aha moment. Anybody have an aha moment where, oh, aha, that's what you meant. Okay, and you see this, and so then I just begin to praise the Lord. I begin to thank him. There's something about thanking him in that moment, and I believe this is what Abraham did when he built that altar. It was to praise, to commemorate, to glorify God and what God said. And when you read in the Old Testament, there it's called groves, but it was like monuments to remember. It's like a memorial that if they were to pass by there again, it was to remind them. Remember when God did that? Yeah, I remember. And I like to use my journal sometimes. I like to use my phone sometimes and put some things on what God's done so that when I come back to it again one day, I can remember what God did. I don't think any of us in this room can remember everything, every blessing that God did and when he came through. We forget sometimes, don't we? But Abram built this altar, and it was to commemorate and praise God. So I'm learning to do this, and I encourage you to do this, that when God says, I'm going to provide for you, when God says, or reminds you with Scripture that Jesus had already paid for the stripes on his back for our healing, just throw up your hand, praise the Lord, praise God, thank you, Lord, and not have to wait till it actually happens, but to praise him all the way till it happens. See, our decisions to act upon God's word sets us up to receive and to walk into what God said would happen. Just as consider this passage that we just read so far. Abram, what God said, the steps and decisions that he took after God said what God was going to do, it set Abram to be in the right place at the right time for what God wanted to do in his life. See, Abram could have stayed like some of us probably would have, waiting for those fleeces, and he could have stayed in Ur. He could have just stayed where he was. And it says in Genesis chapter 11 that his father and his whole family, they went from Ur, I think it's Ur, they went from Ur, and then they went to Haran. Abram could have waited in Haran for all of the fleeces to come apart, or for all the fleeces to come to pass, aha, then I'll go. But he went as God spoke. So our decisions to act on God's word sets us up to receive and to walk into what God wants us to walk into, or what he says is going to happen. At no time did we read that Abram waited for God, or that he said, okay, God, you need to do it. A lot of times we want God to do the things. We want God to do the hard things. We just want it to be, we just want it easy. Kind of like my kids, they're hungry, they just want Shannon to make them something, And if she's got a whole bunch of things to, if she's got a whole bunch of things to do, she can say, you're hungry, you can make something to eat. And that's something that, we try to just, teach them because, I'm not going to be making them something if I got other things to do. If they're hungry, they can make themselves, Throw the hot dog inside the microwave, make peanut butter and jelly sandwich, ham and cheese sandwich. And if they're more technical because they're watching, you know, the chef TV shows, they can make a scrambled egg. I mean, so. Yeah, big time. And so Abram obeyed, but he did more than just obey. He moved. He moved forward. And we can learn from this, dads, that in obeying God and God's instructions, we need to move forward. You see, these decisions to obey and go was important because it wasn't just to impact that moment, but because of that day when he decided to obey, and then the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day, it led him to where God wanted him to be for the final product. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15, verses 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Now, let me just throw this in there. Abram was no longer in Haran. He had left. Now he's in Canaan. He's walking to where God wants him to be. So the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, Lord, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to Abram saying, this one shall not be your heir, meaning this one, Eleazar of Damascus, is not your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. God used something in the natural that can be seen to expound, to give an example, to declare something that is supernatural, that you'll see it one day, but this is just a picture to show you of what's going to happen and to come. See, those moments to choose to obey, regardless of the evidence at hand, brings about God's recognition of what he's going to do. When Abram believed in what God said, it says that it was accounted to Abram as righteous. It was accounted towards Abram by God, not by somebody else, but by God. And that's an important thing. By God, that his faith was righteous. Romans chapter 4, verses 1 talks about Abram and God. And it says, what then shall we say that Abram, our father, has found according to the flesh? Did Abram find all of this stuff according to the natural things? No. For if Abram was justified by works, he has something to boast about. If it was just about the natural, then Abram has something, you know, to boast about, but that's not. It was before God. Verse 3, for what does the scripture say? Abram believed God, and it was accounted to him, to Abram, for righteousness. On a much smaller scale, as I mentioned before about these, you know, little instruction manuals, this one in particular, because this is a blessing. It is a Lightning McQueen battery ride mobile for Jude. We bought this back in March or April. We're going through the checkout line at Walmart, and there was only one left in the front. And these babies go for like $90, $120. It was $25. I looked at that thing and I was like, is that an error on somebody? And then so the lady at the checkout that's working at the counter, she says, oh, no. So I grabbed that thing real quick. And so we thought Jude's birthday. And so Jude's birthday is next month, July 2nd. And Josiah and Ezra aren't going to be here because of camp and going out of town. And so we thought, you know what, let's go ahead and put it together. We'll give it to Jude as an early present because that way Josiah and all the kids can see him. Well, I'm putting this thing together and something, it's all done, put together, and something happens. Now, I'm not going to go into the other detail of what actually happened to cause it to malfunction, but the tire wasn't moving. Well, I figured out that I did something wrong. Again, I thought I followed the instructions correctly to the T. And normally I like to. When I put something together like a TV stand, I got everything set out because I don't want to end up with more screws or I break something. Or if you put something, anybody ever put bifold closet doors up, right? I hate those things. I hate those things because I've had to buy two because I broke them. And, anyway, it's a long story, but I hate those things. And so putting this together, I find out that I put the wheel that propels the vehicle. It's just one wheel that causes the rear wheel that causes the little car to move. I put it on wrong. And so I had to, improvise. I had to get a knife and some scissors or whatever. And I had to cut some plastic off so I could get the motor back inside the little vehicle. And so I ghetto rigged this thing up, but it's working now. Praise the Lord. And because of what happened that malfunctioned, the lights wouldn't turn on. You push the button and you had to be very sensitive. And so that's another story. But if we follow the instructions, why am I sharing this with you? If we follow the instructions that God gives us daily, it makes an impact for that day. But if you're waiting to see the whole final result on that day, I'm sorry, you're not going to. It's faithful decisions of obeying Him all the way to the end. How many of you have been on a diet before? Some of you don't want to raise your hand. All right, you've been on a diet before because you're going to attest to this. You've been on a diet, and it's 3 days and 4 days, and you're looking yourself in the mirror, and you expect those 3-4 days to make your body look like 3-4 months. If you're faithful in the decisions, every day, when you get to 3-4 months, you're going to be like this, pulling the pants out to the side because you've lost weight. Because what you're doing is you're toning your body. And those decisions were important for that day. But not just for that day, for what's going to happen in the future. And Abram, we can look at Abram, and he was obedient to God, that when God said something to him, that I, really, guys, looking at the stars, as many of the stars you see, if you can number them, that's how many descendants you're going to have. And you're probably looking at Sarai. He's probably looking at Sarah and be like, I don't know if this is going to happen. He's thinking in the natural. What, him and Sarai at an old age are going to have all those kids? God is looking at something totally supernatural that only God can do. Those are going to be all your descendants. And because all of those descendants, the whole world's going to be blessed because of Israel. The whole world is going to be blessed. And it boils down to Abram making that one decision on that day. How does this affect us being fathers, us being dads? Us living a life that honors God today is going to bless our kids outside on the marquee. I believe it's Psalm 2017. But outside on the marquee, that if we live with integrity, our children will be blessed. Well, if I live with integrity today, and then I do so again today, and I choose to do so again today, even though I fell yesterday, I can go to the Lord and say, Father, forgive me. Help me to live with integrity, honesty, humility. And I do so every single day, following those steps in obedience, in faithfulness. My kids will be blessed. My kids will be able to talk to their kids about their grandfather, and their kids will be able to talk to their grandfather, great-grandfather, if the Lord tarries. And this is something that all boils down to the decision of today, and it affects those. It affects the future. And all he did was just obey. Genesis chapter 15, did I read that already? Yes. It was accounted unto him for righteousness. Romans 4, 1 and 3. For it says in verse 3, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted. I just want you to just understand this. It was accounted by God. God gave his stamp of approval to Abram. That's righteousness there, buddy. Your faith. That's righteousness. Now for us today, it's because of Jesus. Thank God it's because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we are righteous. Because of Jesus, we are made right. Because of Jesus, we have been restored in a relationship with the Father. And I know I'm getting long-winded here, but step one, my first point, if you can put up slide one, is follow his steps correctly. I came across this. Small steps of obedience become beautiful, sweeping moves of faith. And this is what Abram did. Steps of obedience. But we all, if you don't know the story, we know that Abram made a mistake, didn't he? Him and Sarai, well, actually Sarai gave him the, you know, thumbs up, but they jumped the gun. Now they have this kid. And this kid is not supposed to be the heir. Ishmael was not the heir that God was talking about when God showed him all the stars in the sky. It did cause a lot of problems. You see, he gives us instructions for us to follow correctly, and he gives them to us for a reason, that we are to live and walk in obedience. Micah 6:8 says we are to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. But Micah 6:8 mentions that this is required of God. It is required of us. The word required means stipulated as necessary to be done. It is necessary for you, believer in Christ, to do justly, which means to have integrity, to be honest, to love mercy. That's what God does. He gives it to us every morning. And to walk humbly with your God. It's not about you. It's about God. It's not you. It's God working through you. As I mentioned before, Proverbs 20, verse 7. I think I said verse 17, but I'm correcting myself. Proverbs 27. It says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. You see, our obedience now, the daily steps, result in a life of righteousness. Point two, or step two, fear God and despise or hate evil. Let's jump to Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. This is another father that we're going to look at. It says in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels. He just had a lot of animals. And a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. He's the greatest of the East. I want to be known now, not just in the future, but now, that I fear God and that I hate evil. Something about our decisions for the Lord today, when done faithfully, results in a life that glorifies God. So the life at the end, my life, when either I pass away or I'm laying on my deathbed or whatever, all these decisions, I want them. I know that they are very important, but I just don't want to be known then how great of a man I am in God, or how great God used me. Not just at that end, but I want to know. I want people to see that throughout all my life, not just at the end. In order to run a marathon in November, I'm not running a marathon in November, I'm just picking a month in the fall. But in order to run a marathon in November, what do I have to do? I have to do something faithfully every single day, don't I? I mean, there is an actual plan or a progress that those marathon runners, they actually set up. You have to run a mile every day. And after a couple of weeks, you're no longer running a mile. Now you're running 3 miles every day. And you have to do all of this successfully and faithfully every day, so that when November comes, or that day to run that race, to accomplish your goal, not to end up in the ambulance, but to end up passing the finish line, I am to live my life during those days accomplishing this goal. I'm going to finish that marathon, but my daily decisions get me there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It doesn't say to live for your own goals, then for God's and his kingdom. It says for God first and his kingdom. I think a lot of us sometimes we get that mixed up. We get so focused on what we got to do that we start off the day, we start off the week trying to accomplish our goals, and we lose track of what God's goals are. God's goals might have been that person when you went to go get gas. God's goals might have been the person that you've been avoiding or has been avoiding you all week at work. That might have been God's goal. And so we go to Job. Let's go to Job chapter, same chapter, chapter 1, verse 5. It says, so it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them. He had 10 kids. He would sanctify his kids. It says that he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. It says this, thus Job did regularly. Job went to the Father over his children every day. Every day. Now, some would say, well, that didn't end well for his kids. Well, probably not, but it did for Job, because it says something about Job that I want it to be said about me, that he feared God and he hated evil. He feared God and he shunned evil. To be blameless, it says, and to be upright, talks about Job. One who fears God and shuns evil. This is what God said, and God said this twice. As God was speaking to Lucifer or Satan, God said this twice about Job. He is blameless and upright, one who fears God and hates evil. First and foremost, because of Jesus, I'm thankful that we are righteous because of him, not by my righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29. No flesh should glory in his presence, because you got nothing to offer. You got nothing to give, because you came in naked and you'll go out naked. Verse 30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, it says, God made Jesus, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You are righteous, or you can be righteous, because of what Jesus paid on the cross of Calvary for you. That is what makes us righteous. Last point, or last step, stand fast, remain strong. I want us to go to Job chapter 2, because it says about Job that he did something. Again, our daily steps to honor God create the life of a person who brings glory. How many of you want to bring glory to God? Not just at the end, but you want to bring glory to God every day that God has given you life. Job chapter 2, verse 1, it says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, where did you come from? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from a walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil? Do you think God is speaking about Job in a embarrassing kind of way? No, I believe he's saying this in a pride, in a being proud of his son, being proud of Job, one who fears God and hates or eschews evil. And still he holds fast his integrity. Man, I want to hold fast my integrity. I want to hold fast in the good things that God wants out of my life. It says, although you moved me against him to destroy him without cause, meaning what happened to his family, what happened to his, you know, all his possessions. Verse 4, Satan answered and said, yeah, skin for skin, yeah, and all that man has will he give for his life. But put forth your hand on him now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die. This is probably a good place where she probably should have said, oh woman, or oh lady. But anyway, he didn't. We talked about that in Sunday school. Don't use that term, gentlemen. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. What? Now listen to what he says. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips? If you remember last week, it was the faith of, it was the resolute faith of three Hebrew young men that made a great impact on a king and that land. At any point, if I stray away from, whether it be these instructions or the instructions from God's word that have been given to me, and I try to put something together like my life or that item that I bought, I place myself in a position to fail. I place myself in a position to not accomplish the final result, the final product. What do you think is the final product that God has for you? That you will be with him for all of eternity. And that the only way you could be with him for all of eternity is that Jesus remains your Lord, your supreme authority, your number one, and that you remain obedient to his instructions. This is what God desires from all of us. But if I stray away from his instructions, I fail to accomplish. Even though I try to improvise, even though I try to break out my trusty knife and my scissors and try to put things and shove it back into place, it's not what God has for me. It's not what God wants me to do. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is talking a lot of things to his disciples and talking about the end times. But 24:13, Jesus says, "But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved." Listen, I want to endure. Listen, God wants you to endure all the junk that we're going to go through in life. We need to keep focus that the daily steps of honoring him, obeying him, walking in humility and integrity and in the righteousness that we have in Jesus, it will lead us one day to become the people that God wanted us to be. So in the face of wars, famines, and false teachings, the reality is this. You probably don't see it. I want to see it every day. But maybe you probably don't see what's going on. That God is moving and God is doing things even right now. You don't see it. You see me. You see everyone in this room. But there is a spiritual thing going on in the spirit realm. You don't see it. Some of you probably do. And you get little glimpses of it. Because God reveals things to you from his word and what he's spoken to you. Dads, I want to encourage you. God knows your troubles and your difficulties. He knows the difficulty of leading your family because he knows that some of your kids might be difficult. He knows that you are having some difficulty because you might be the problem. Other people might be the problem. He knows that you won't get everything right, so quit trying to be Mr. Perfect. In your efforts of being Mr. Perfect, doing it on your own, you'll end up being Mr. Prideful, walking farther from God than where he wants you to be. Because now you're doing things on your own in the natural. But I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to live right. I'm honest. You can be honest and so far away from God because you are not in a relationship with his son. You're not in a relationship with him. You will learn to lead your family by following his steps every day. Following his instructions, daily steps of obedience, daily steps of humility. Can you put up the last slide, please? Daily steps of humility and surrender. Focus more on what God says and less on what you see. Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Be encouraged, dads. Because it shouldn't be you doing it. It should be God doing it through you. And all you're doing is, God, I'm just trying to be obedient to you today. Yesterday is gone, and I made plenty of mistakes, God. Today, I surrender to you. God, forgive me for what happened yesterday. Forgive me what happened this morning. God, I'm surrendering my life to you. I just want to be obedient to you today. And when tomorrow comes, if it comes, God, then I'm going to choose to be obedient to you tomorrow. And I'm going to choose to follow the steps that you give me. You've given me some instructions. You've given me this instruction manual. And it will be my desire to accomplish those steps every day. Focus more on what he says and less on what you see. Well, that's easier said than done, Pastor, because I don't see it. You can. You can be able to see the things in the spirit. Now, I'm not talking about sci-fi stuff that you're actually, put on those 3D glasses, but that every day you read his word, you know what he's saying, and even though what people are saying, and even though if you get the little sniffles, you see that verse. It's on your Bible. It's already highlighted and underlined about 5 times. By his stripes, I am healed. And you can walk in thankfulness. You can walk in knowing that God's word says that by his stripes, I am healed. See, the people in the natural, they just see, well, you're still sniffling, you're still feeling. But it doesn't matter what my body's saying. What matters is what the word of God says. So focus on that, fathers. Focus on what is true, and the reality is found in the spiritual. Focus on what you can see in the spirit instead what's in the natural. You see, there's freedom in this room. I know you can't see it. There's freedom in this room. In this room, the Spirit of the Lord is here. There's deliverance in this room. I know some of you probably can't see it, but there's deliverance in this room. There's restoration in this room. There is liberty in this room. God the Father, God the Son, and God Holy Spirit is here to convict us, to comfort us, to heal us, to heal us, to deliver us, to set people free. You see, it's not just a catchy song, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It's actually a verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. If I can ask you to just put that up, Joe. See, for all of us who are fathers, we need to understand that God wants us to lead our families in faith. He is our Heavenly Father. We don't have an excuse to say, well, my earthly dad, he just was. Well, you know what? All of our earthly dads weren't perfect, but there is a Heavenly Father who is perfect, and he's given us instructions. And if we would just be encouraged today to follow them daily, faithful steps to honor you, God,